Radio Daily. The weekend eve.
That's right. It's almost here. Nothing you can do about it.
Unless, of course, you have a doomsday machine, in which case, please, don't do anything about it. Hi, everyone. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from all the various places that you do. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the guy who maybe needs to get the eyes checked, we'll find out that this podcast is Rich Sickrit.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were a lovely lady.
That doesn't explain your behavior. Hi, everyone. I'm the guy who was promised lunch. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Don't even be tempting me with the lunch, because that's a powerful motivator.
Powerful. You don't even want to know where that's going to go. What happened on this fine day, sir?
Well, in 105 AD in China, Cai Lun, an official of the Han Dynasty Chinese Imperial Court, invents the first paper from a mixture of bamboo, fishnets, mulberry, and rags.
Glad they perfected that. 1702, the first regularly printed English language newspaper, the Daily Courant, is launched by Edward Mallet in London, England. The paper consists of a single sheet with two columns.
Two?
One was Dear Abby.
1897, a meteorite enters the Earth's atmosphere and explodes over New Martinsville, West Virginia, causing property damage but no personal injuries.
1918, the first case of what was erroneously called the Spanish flu, the H1N1 influenza virus, occurs, the start of a devastating worldwide pandemic. The disease is only beaten once everyone who is not immune to the disease is dead. It wiped out 3% to 6% of the world's population over its nearly two-year span. So see, masks aren't that bad.
1960, NASA launches the Pioneer 5 space probe from Cape Canaveral towards a solar orbit between Earth and Venus aboard a Thor-Able three-stage rocket. It will become the first successful U.S. deep space probe.
1975, the Atari coin-operated arcade game Highway goes into production in North America. It's the first to feature a cockpit cabinet, which allows players to sit down while they play.
1985, ConNet, the nation's first local public packet switching network, is launched in Connecticut. The network can be used to access a number of services, and corporations can use the network to provide their employees mainframe access at home. The system is an early forerunner of later internet service providers.
1995, Square releases Chrono Trigger for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System in Japan.
1996, the EU Database Directive is passed, extending and harmonizing the treatment of databases under copyright law.
1997, an explosion at a nuclear waste reprocessing plant in Japan exposes 35 workers to low-level radioactive contamination and the worst nuclear accident in Japan's history that Godzilla was not part of.
1998, at the CeBIT trade show in Hanover, Germany, Eiger Labs releases the first portable digital audio player, the MP-Man F10, which will be sold in North America. It is the first in a long series of what will be called MP3 players to hit the market. It features a 32 meg capacity capable of holding up to, count them, 8 songs.
2002, the Earth Simulator Center in Kanawanza, Yokohama, Kanagawa, Japan, opens after nearly 17 months of construction. The facility houses the Earth Simulator, the fastest supercomputer in the world, which is capable of performing 35.86 trillion floating point calculations per second. The system will remain the world's fastest computer until 2004, so not that long.
2003, the Italian clothing retailer Benetton announces plans to attach RFID tracking chips to its clothing in order to better track the inventory of its 5,000 stores. However, the announcement will be met with widespread resistance from consumers who fear that the chips could potentially be used to track individuals outside the store, and the company was forced to abandon its plans by a large-scale consumer boycott.
You know they take them off when you buy it, right?
2005, 20th Century Fox releases the animated film Robots, directed by Chris Wedge and Carlos Saldana, featuring the voice talents of Ewan McGregor, Robin Williams, Halle Berry, Mel Brooks, Stanley Tucci, Diane Wiest, Drew Carey, Amanda Bynes, Harland Williams, Greg Kinnear, Paul Giamatti, Jim Broadbent, and Jennifer Coolidge. Wow.
It's good. I really enjoyed that movie. 2007 in the United States, Daylight Savings Time, or DST, begins 3 weeks early, due to the Energy Policy Act of 2005, and it will end a week later than usual, on the first Sunday of November. The act was inspired by similar bills introduced in Great Britain during World War I to conserve coal.
2008, a vicious strain of rabies spreads throughout an apartment block, including two policemen, two firemen, and a news crew. The authorities pretend that the building has been fully evacuated. Oh, that's silly quarantine.
2011, an earthquake measuring 9.0 in magnitude strikes 130 kilometers, about 81 miles east of Sendai, Japan, triggering a tsunami killing thousands of people. This event triggered the second largest nuclear accident in history after Chernobyl.
2002, Dodge and Penny die in bed together as the asteroid Matilda kills everyone on Earth. Thanks, friend, for seeing the end of the world with me. Birthdays?
Thora Birch, 39, from Hocus Pocus, American Beauty, Ghost World, Dungeons & Dragons, and Walking Dead.
Johnny Knoxville is 50, from Jackass, Men in Black 2, Dukes of Hazzard, Teenage Mutant, Ninja Turtles.
He was not good in Men in Black 2.
Men in Black 2 was not good.
Oh, no, that was a bad movie. Terrence Howard is 52. Who's the Man? Crash, Ray, Wayward Pines, the original Rhodey in Iron Man, and Empire.
I would say the best one as well. Wallace Langham is 56. Hodges on Weird Science, Amazon Women on the Moon, The Social Network, Transcendence, and CSI.
Alex Kingston's 58. From ER, Flash Forward, Arrow, and of course, the fantastic River Song in Doctor Who.
Elias Koteas is 60 from Some Kind of Wonderful, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and the third one, The Prophecy, Gattaca, Zodiac, A Very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas.
And it's not Christopher Maloney.
Nope. That would be the first Harold and Kumar.
Mark Metcalf is 75, Niedermeyer in Animal House, and The Master on Buffy.
No longer with us, born this date in 1873, David Horsley co-founded Universal Studios.
1893, Wanda Gag wrote and illustrated the children's book Millions of Cats and the oldest American picture book that is still in print.
1928, Albert Salmi from The Flim Flam Man, Escape from the Planet of the Apes, Empire of the Ants, Caddyshack, and Dragon Slayer.
In 1957, The Lady Chablis. She played herself in Midnight of the Garden of Good and Evil.
Which is so good. And not on TV tonight, spoilers.
On CBS, we've got a new Young Sheldon, another Young Sheldon, Mom, New the Unicorn, and Clarice finds herself experiencing extreme hallucinations while a serial killer keeps her confined to a hospital bed and repeatedly drugged.
That's even better.
Not drugged. On Clarice.
ABC has a new Station 19, Grey's Anatomy. Maggie returns home and Rome's movie is jeopardized due to lockdown measures on a new A Little Million Pieces.
NBC has a new Superstore, another Superstore in Alano Svu, and Dateline, the California Channel.
Fox has a new Hell's Kitchen, Call Me Cat, and Last Man Standing.
C.W. Walker is shocked when Jerry decides to sell the bar because he associates so many memories with the establishment. On a new Walker and a new Legacies.
Freeform, Zoe wrestles with the status of her relationship with Aaron. Sky and Jazz return from the Olympic trials and struggle to say goodbye on a new Grownish.
AMC has Legion. Doesn't it have Paul Bettany in it?
I believe so. Bravo, Kyle is annoyed that his housemates want to have a relaxed Saturday night. Steven plans a grand gesture for Lindsay on a new Summer House.
FX has Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
FXX Simpsons, You Get Your Dog Town, and The Way of the Dog, It's a Dog Night. So I guess there's a Santa's Little Helper episode as well.
FXM has Life on the Line.
BBC America, The Bourne Supremacy.
Siffy has iRobot.
TNT is showing Basketball.
TCM has Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
I'm not going to tell you. True TV, Ron Funches is on Fast Foodies, but tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. A teenage girl is imprisoned in the basement of her home by her father, who tells the rest of the family that she has run away and spends the next 24 years torturing and raping her until she manages to escape and her family learns the truth. Jolie Fisher and Judd Nelson star in Girl in the Basement.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad defends Marlena, a psychiatrist accused of murdering a former patient who was stalking her. Jack and Brady are back at the practice, wiping her hard drive clean. Stefan talks to Eric, the son of Marlena's alleged victim, and after catching a glimpse of a tough guy staring at him from the back of a courtroom, Chad tells Abby, Stefan, and Gabby about the concern he has that his past has not stayed buried. And Gabby's like, look, you gotta drop your secret lies and tell us everything. The secrets and lies will be our undoing, Chad. Man, I'm just gonna go camping. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Okay, let's read a couple of letters here.
Hi, geeks. I can't remember the name of the movie you mentioned, and I can't play your episode in Chrome tab. Even trying the play in another window option, my Chrome is up to date. I don't know, man. I use Brave. I agree about Jeff Daniels as a musician, singer, and songwriter. I have maybe 7 albums on my ancient iPod Touch, and his live Unplugged is the best one of them I love to hear. Also love the 2 electric bikes, off-road wheelchair. I also hope that more inclusive versions can be produced, but it's a good start largely because it's so affordable. I don't know what I would do if my own assistive technology weren't completely off the mainstream shelf. And now I have to fight with Adobe customer service again. But my call has been dropped. One of them didn't know the direct number to actual tech support. I was on hold almost 2 hours and missed out on that much paid work time yesterday. And that hold music cut to dead silence after the first 10 minutes. I had to hang up and go to work. And it's all because someone mishandled my transition from a student subscription to a non-student individual subscription. Now about once a year, I get locked out of a program for which they acknowledge I'm paid up for automatically. And all I get when I try to launch the pop-up suggesting is a 7-day trial. Stay safe. That is from Bill. Well, Bill, you've got gremlins, and I suggest you get Zach Galligan on the phone immediately. Did I hallucinate? I swear I wrote into the show yesterday with where Chad ended up. With where Chabby ended up this week. Maybe I didn't offer the right appeasements to the internet gnomes that deliver mail through the tubes. Love, and maybe I shouldn't have used garlic toast and pinwheels. That is from Drace. Well, no, it's not necessarily that, Drace. It could just be that sometimes we get a bunch of mail and we wait and do others later. You know, like the one you also sent that I'll read tomorrow. Greetings, GRD crew. Thank you for reminding me that today, March 10th, is the anniversary of one of the best stories of vengeance in American business history. Almon Brown Stoiger, as the story goes, was an undertaker in Kansas. He noticed his business wasn't getting the traffic he expected. He discovered that his competitor's wife worked as a telephone exchange operator. If a caller asked for Stoiger specifically, she would route his calls. If a caller just asked for an undertaker, she would route the call to her husband. So he invented an automatic switcher that took the human bias out of the process and completely eliminated his competitor's wife's entire occupation. Also, Chad and Abby are in court on... And I can't tell you how delighted I was when you appreciated my hidden hint for checking in a few weeks ago. Cheers. That's from Jared in Anaheim. Well, Jared, I'm always appreciative as long as I'm awake enough or smart enough to understand what you're doing. If you've got some sneaky hints of stuff you'd like to send in, by all means, tell us, won't you? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, a voicemail, text, mail, message. Either of those, just use the number.
510-GRD-CRW.
As long as your secret codes are not a crummy commercial.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
Hey, this is Brian O'Halloran, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Why? Because I don't know. I'm not even supposed to be here today. Are we done with this drop?
Well, for now.
But we'll use it again.
You can't stop us. That cease and desist order doesn't mean a thing to me, sir. And if I don't open it, you can't tell I've actually read it, so there's that.
Yeah, that's legally binding.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast-off.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Well, now's the time for your revenge. What are we playing, sir?
Well, we've got Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time. The success of Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy has led to a proper fourth outing from developer Toys for Bob. Available for the PS5 and Xbox Series XS.
Samurai Showdown, a reboot of the sword-slashing series of the same name. Samurai Showdown combines an updated 3D cel-shaded style with the series' traditional 2D roots for the Xbox Series XS.
Red Ronin features the story of a samurai and a journey to find the recipe for the perfect hamburger. Yum. I don't know. They didn't actually put a description. Available for the PC, though.
Fortnite Chapter 2 Season 6 debuts March 16th. In a change, the conclusion of Agent Jones' mission in the Zero Crisis finale will take place on the first day of the new season. The aftermath of this event is sure to shape reality as we know it. It's available on all platforms, except, of course, for iOS.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Remember us telling you the CW was making a gritty live-action reboot of the Powerpuff Girls?
But people are demanding the grim and gritty Mr. Adventure, apparently.
Sure. But this one has actually cast their leads. Dove Cameron from Descendants will be playing Bubbles. Chloe Benin from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be Blossom. And Yana Perrault from Jagged Little Pill on Broadway will be Buttercup.
Fine. Is Danny DeVito cast in the role he was born to play? Is he Mojo Jojo or not?
The reboot shows the grown-up Powerpuff Girls have been changed by their childhood super fame. Bubbles is only interested in maintaining her celebrity status. Blossom is consumed by anxiety. And Buttercup is trying to completely reject her former identity for a more normal life.
Oddly enough, the B-Dolls are now the most popular music group in the world.
The trio has to reunite to save the world, so presumably they'll have to face off their concerns in order to fight some old, depressed Mojo Jojo, twisted, tyrannical, fuzzy lumpkins, the unnamed, unbeatable monster, bitter and morose from not finding anyone to challenge it, and him doing a police procedural. Though, to be fair, no word on any characters but the team themselves have been mentioned.
If they do not have Timothy Chalamet, Tom Holland, and Finn Wolfhard as the rowdy rough boys, then they do not understand us at all.
The show for now is just a pilot and may never air on regular TV. It's executive produced by Greg Berlanti.
Of course, who else? But will they appear in a crossover with Doom Patrol Archie and Malcolm Bright?
The show comes from Diablo Cody and Veronica Mars reboot writer Heather Reginier. Craig McCracken is at least getting credit for the creation of the original Cartoon Network series, but it doesn't sound like he's involved beyond that. There could be a full series, but a pilot alone is definitely going to end up in dealers' rooms eventually. And then we can once again see the city of Townsville. What's this? People running for their lives? Yeah. What else is new?
Slam, a graphic novel series set in the world of all-female roller derby, is being adapted as an animated series for HBO Max.
Okay, I know we dropped it from terminology and derby, but this is a grand slam!
Pamela Ryben, who co-created the comic with Veronica Fish and co-wrote feature films including Moana and Ralph Breaks the Internet, is adapting her book with Warner Media-owned Rooster Teeth Studios, Boom Studios, and Minnow Mountain.
Oh, so they're doing it proper. No track cutting. Nice!
The half-hour series is set in the fast-paced, hard-hitting, super-cheeky, all-female world of banked track roller derby, follows two young women who will have to decide if their budding friendship is stronger than the pull of a team when a win is on the line.
Ooh, the struggles and turmoil that face derby wives.
No word on actual release date, but it will be made using a combination of rotoscoped and 3D animation with Craig Staggs and Steph Swope's Minnow Mountain, the Texas-based studio behind Amazon's Undone, animating. Now, me personally, I'd prefer a live action because I love the aesthetic of derby. But hey, it probably means the soundtrack will be done by A-ha.
Beetlejuice is a classic. I mean, we keep waiting for that alleged sequel, if for no other reason to check in with what's been going on for the real star of that film.
I'd be cool. You can't have an auto story without Glenn Shaddix.
That's true, but the star I'm referring to is Lydia Deetz, originally portrayed by Winona Ryder in the Tim Burton-directed 1988 classic that featured Michael Keaton as the ghost with the most.
The most? Not the football players with all their gear? Not the chicken bone man? Not the diver doing his Adam West impression?
For the Lydia Deetz stands out there, an action figure is finally on the way based on the Beetlejuice animated series. Voiced by Allison Court, Lydia became a considerably more capable character than in the movie. There are two versions of her figure. One is in her infamous red spider dress, while the other has her donning purple. They both come with, get this, Ginger, the tap dancing spider, as well as an umbrella, camera, candle, and book.
This has been a banner year for Hot Topic. This and the Invader Zim movie in 2019? Should make up for the lack of an MCR album in years.
Beetlejuice comes with an interchangeable hands, hat, cane, and small sandworm. They can be yours for $63 each. But look, if the makers would like to give us the entire afterlife waiting room, well, go ahead, make my millennium.
A chunk of black rock dating back to the earliest days of the solar system has fallen onto a residential driveway in the UK.
Please don't be a Triffid. Please don't be a Triffid. Please don't be a Triffid.
It's not a Triffid. It's just a meteorite. And not just any kind of meteorite, though. It's a piece of carbonaceous chondrite, which, at an estimated 4.5 billion years old, dates back to the formation of the solar system, according to a statement from the University of Manchester.
So it's one of the Rolling Stones?
I think they were in the second wave of the Rolling Stones. The fireball entered Earth's atmosphere at speeds reaching 8.7 miles per second, That's 14 kilometers per second, which was spotted by thousands of witnesses, many of whom reported the spectacle to the UK Meteor Observation Network.
Has Bruce Willis been notified?
Carbonaceous chondrites are formed from a combination of minerals and organic compounds, such as amino acids. By studying such ancient objects, scientists can peer back to the earliest days of the solar system, allowing them to better understand the origin of plants and water and how the basic building blocks of life reached Earth.
Building block? Did God lose a Lego?
This means science could learn new and amazing things about the creation of the universe. This could open our minds in ways we can't begin to imagine. Assuming, of course, this doesn't trigger any cannibal zombies. After all, where have all the Valley Girls gone?
Yusuke Kawai is running for governor of Chiba Prefecture and recently appeared on NHK to present his platform. Based on that appearance, it looks like he wants Japan to put on a happy face as he showed up dressed as the Joker.
Biggest donations came from Smilex and Acme.
While Kawai certainly isn't pulling off a perfect Joker cosplay, his makeup and outfit do look a bit like the Joaquin Phoenix version, complete with a burgundy jacket, mustard hanky, seeming to reference the character's vest.
And he's promising a smiling fish in every pot.
His platform includes the following. Build a red tower like Tokyo Tower in Chiba, but name it Tokyo Tower. Rename Narita Airport, which is located in Chiba, as Disney Sky. Make Let It Go from Frozen Chiba's theme song. Outlaw the word trash in Chiba and replace it with the words star fragment. Refer to rabble-rousers that Chiba is known for with the cuter sounding Olafs. Rename Makuhara Station as Makuhara Messi Isn't Here Station.
But I thought the only sensible way to live in this world is without rules.
A few years ago, Kawai quit his job and tried to enter the Japanese entertainment industry as a comedian. He wasn't able to get his big TV break, so he turned to YouTube, underscoring the performative stunt-like quality of his campaign. He recently released the rather amusing music video called It's Showtime.
Do you think that's funny?
I do. And I'm tired of pretending it's not. The real joke is your stubborn, bone-deep conviction that somehow, somewhere, all of this makes sense. That's what cracks me up every time. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, not commercial, not derivative works, 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
I think we need to put my Bobby De Niro in more of these sketches, you know?
I think more politicians should just be upfront about their murderous ways and just let the world know, hey, who would you like to see politicians dressed up to get your vote? Let us know. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, a voicemail, text message. You can send those by using the number
510-GRD.
Maybe a sandworm. That would be interesting and different.
Blah, 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 blah.
God, these guys are such geek dumbasses. I know.
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
Good night, suckers.
I think we need better packaging. We need a better way to show off our product.
What you reading? Platypus?
Nothing.
Come on, Sour Patch. Don't be mad.
I told you I'm not mad. I'm indifferent, okay?
I said I was sorry.
Good morning,
Mr. Stark. I said I was sorry.
I told him I was sorry, but he didn't.
I'm just indifferent right now. You don't respect yourself, so I know you don't respect me.
I respect you.
I'm just your babysitter, and so, you know, when you need your diaper change, thank you. Let me know, and I'll get you a bottle, okay?
Hey, heat up a sake, will you? Thanks for reminding me.
No, I'm not talking. We're not drinking. We're working right now.
You can't have sashimi without sake.
You are constitutionally incapable of being responsible.
It would be irresponsible not to drink. I'm just talking about a nightcap.
Hot sake?
Yes, two, please.
No, just, I'm not drinking. I don't want any.
And that's what I'm talking about. When I get up in the morning and I'm putting on my uniform, you know what I recognize? I see in that mirror that every person that's got this uniform on got my back.
Hey, man, I just turned into a
pelican. No, you don't have to be like me. But you are more than what you are.
Excuse me if I'm just a little bit distracted here.
No, you can't be distracted.
Don't take the settlement. Money's irrelevant. I need heat to energize.